So good morning, everyone. Like Vera said, my name is Jonathan Brockelman, and I'm currently getting my master's, here, I'll move this up a little bit, at Kansas State University under Ignacio CMP, and we are looking at grain sorghum response to the environment and water supply. So first off, the biggest reason why we're doing this research project is because in many parts of the world, you know, irrigation is becoming limited. So the amount of irrigation that you have is either one, diminishing, two, there's restrictions on it by the government just because of the use amount, and so three, the solutions are needed to be able to maximize yield with the resources that you have. So as you're having less water, we need to find solutions to increase the yield, and we're looking at sorghum as an option for this. So in this research project, we're looking at different hybrids and just how they respond to the different environments, especially under different rainfall amounts and irrigation. And then also we want to look at, okay, so what has happened to sorghum under these higher yielding environments? Because usually sorghum is really not even thought of under these, in planting under these high yielding environments. So we decided to locate our project across five different locations across Kansas. And the reason this is because, if you don't know, because of the Rocky Mountains in the west, Kansas gets varying amounts of rainfall going from west to east. And as you can see on this map, in the western part of the state, you have lower amounts of rainfall, so it's drier. And then as you consecutively go east, you get a little bit more rainfall incrementally. So we have put two locations in western Kansas in the lowest yielding environment in Kansas, and then kind of two in the middle with mid-rainfall, and then one in eastern Kansas in a higher yielding environment. And as you can see, there's two red stars. Those are actually the two locations that I'm going to be focusing on today. One under irrigation in the high yielding environment in eastern Kansas, and then one in dry land in the middle of Kansas. And we decided to have also different irrigation regimes. So we have dry land and fully irrigated, and then we have varying amounts in between that at 33 and 66% of the water supplied as the fully irrigated. And we decided to use three hybrids in a completely randomized block design. And we chose these hybrids based off of their characteristics of what they're supposed to respond. So one hybrid is supposed to do well under dry land yielding production. Then one kind of is supposed to do well in all environments. And the third one is supposed to do better under irrigated. And then to understand what's actually going on beneath the soil surface, we decided to take soil moisture content readings with the neutron probe in this picture. And then we looked at the yield factors, so what's actually contributing to the yield in the sorghum. So we looked at harvest index, biomass, seed number, and the seed weight. So in this graph, we decided to look at the hybrid plasticity across the environments, which is essentially comparing the hybrid's yield compared to the average yield in that environment for the sorghum. So on the y-axis, you have the hybrid yield in megagrams per hectare, and then on the x-axis, you actually have the average yield of the different hybrids at the different environments. So at the right side, you have the higher yielding environment, and then on the left, you have the lower yielding environment. And then this is the line from actually the irrigated suited. And then if you compare it to the other ones, so this is the all environments suited hybrid, and it actually did better in the higher yielding environment than in the lower yielding environments compared to the irrigated suited. And then if you look at the dryland suited, it actually flip-flopped from what we actually hypothesized, and it actually did the best in the higher yielding environments and did the worst in the lower yielding environments. So in the higher yielding environment, as you can see, the dryland suited hybrid yielded more than the other two environments. So we looked at the harvest index, and even though the dryland suited had the largest high harvest index, it really didn't have any significant difference compared to the other two hybrids. And it also had the highest harvest biomass compared to the other two environments. So when we look at these two, they contribute to a largest seed number, which equals yield. And we think it doesn't really make sense if you're just looking at harvest index and biomass, but both of those together contribute to the largest yield and the largest seed number. So then we decided to look at the lower yielding environment as well. And all the hybrids actually yielded the same in this environment. And then, but how it got to that yield was different. So the harvest index on the left, which is just the grain biomass divided by the total biomass of the plant, the dryland suited had a greater harvest index than the other two. But then, when you go to the biomass, the irrigated suited produced more biomass than the other two hybrids. So then, to look at what's going on beneath the soil surface, this is a seasonal change in the soil water throughout the season, from planting to harvest. So the blue line on the right is our dryland suited, and then the red line is our irrigated suited. And we're going to take a little bit closer look at these two lines. But if you notice, on the y-axis is the soil depth. So as you're going down, that's deeper down in the soil profile. And then on the x-axis, that is the change in the volumetric water content, which is essentially, as you're going right, it means that there's a greater change. So the plants had more water extracted from the soil. So as you can see on the far right side, that means that the soil was drier at the end of the season compared to the other two hybrids. So we broke it into two parts. The first part is the change in the volumetric water content from planting to flowering. And we just decided to look at, okay, what are the two extremes? So the dryland suited hybrid and the irrigated suited hybrid. And in the dryland suited hybrid, it actually took up more water in that upper profile compared to that irrigated hybrid. But then we wanted to take a look at, okay, so what's happening from flowering to maturity? And so from flowering to maturity, they're pretty similar, but if you can notice a difference between planting to flowering and flowering to harvest, in that flowering to harvest time interval, most of the water uptake was deeper down in the soil profile, which would make sense compared to the planting to flowering, which most of the water uptake was in that upper profile. So from this experiment, we just noticed the different strategies to attain the yield. And in the low yielding environments, we noticed the first strategy was that it was less efficient in the biomass production. So even though that dryland suited hybrid, even though it took up more water, it didn't produce as much biomass. But then on the flip side, it was more efficient in the partitioning of that biomass to the grain yield. And then secondly, in that irrigation suited hybrid, it was much more efficient in biomass production. So even though it took up less water, it was still produced the most amount of biomass of those three hybrids, but it was also less efficient in producing that grain yield compared to that biomass production. But then, when you go to the higher yielding environment, you had more efficient biomass production, so you had the most biomass production for the amount of water, but then you also had more efficient partitioning to the grain in the highest yielding sorghum. So even though in that lower yielding environment, you had to kind of give and take, but in that higher yielding environment, you really had to push both limits on both biomass production and the efficiency in partitioning that to grain. So basically, off of this research, there's obviously needing more research in sorghum under these environments and how it responds to different irrigation levels to produce greater yield. So, I will stand to take any questions. Yes?
The irrigation treatment is started with measurement of UD. What is the answer to the test measurement of UD?
Right. So, on the irrigation, so when I said the 33% of the fully irrigated, we had an irrigation system that the variable rate irrigation. So, just based off of what the full irrigated got, it got 33% of what we irrigated on the fully irrigated. And then the rainfall was just the same across all the environments. So that was just the difference in the irrigation amount. Yes?
So it's a very dry area.
Yes.
Dry land. How is the difference between dry land and irrigation? Because if you give 33%, it is dry land.
Right.
So, should not it be full irrigation to be called irrigation? that's what we're doing.
Right. So on that 33% and 66%, we try to get that, you know, that interval of irrigation. You know, that way you don't just have, you know, you're fully irrigated in dry land in both extremes. We wanted to see, you know, what's happening in between that. You know, especially if you have limited irrigation, say you have X amount of inches or centimeters to put on in 1 year, you know, how can you use that if you can't fully irrigate, if that makes sense. So. Yes, sir.
I was wondering, based on what you've done, whether or not you measure root depth, root hydraulic properties, transpiration, I mean, traits related to the hydraulics.
Right.
Of these guys.
So even though that'd be a great thing to study, we actually did not look at those different things in this experiment. It'd be really interesting to see what actually happens with root depth and you know, the hydraulic properties, like you said. And it'd probably be something you kind of have to do in more of a greenhouse study or something more controlled. But
actually, you can't do that in field study.
Yeah. Really, really complicated. So, but thank you. Any other questions?
So you have a middle, the hybrid, which is performing in the dry land. When you took it to a well irrigated one, it performed really good, right?
Right.
So what would happen to the other style, which is towards a more western style? Would that also perform very similarly, you would expect? If you take the hybrid, which is adapted to the western Kansas, to the high yielding environment.
So, okay, can you repeat that, please?
So you have five stars, right?
Right.
So you could, I know this is not a part of your presentation, but I thought, yeah. So if towards the western, mm-hmm. the hybrids, which are adapted to the most western
right.
parts, if you take it to the irrigated conditions,
right.
do you think the plasticity would be the same?
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah. So, well, that's kind of essentially, you know, with the three different hybrids, you know, the one that's supposed to be, you know, suited better towards those dryland areas, that western side of the state, they actually did, you know, better in the eastern side than what we actually expected. So it kind of had that differing amounts of, you know, yield compared to the environment. So does that make sense? Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
What might be the reason for lower yields under dry land conditions?
Yeah. So some of the reasons for just the lower yields is, you know, drought stress and heat stress at the flowering, and especially, you know, during those times that we got a lot of rain towards the beginning of the season, but then the water just really shut off. So those are some of the reasons why. In those lower yielding, it yielded less than in the higher yielding. So.
There are any questions?